Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, in 16 days it'll end. No, part of it'll end. The rest of it'll just keep going. That's because in 16 days we have the midterm elections. And that means all of those campaign commercials will end.
Finally.
For too long now, we've been hearing about how this candidate is better than that candidate. And in 16 days, we'll be done with it. It's about time. But unfortunately, only the commercials will end. Because the dividing lines between us will still be there. That's because politicians aren't the only ones who like to say, I'm better than that other guy. It's also everyday people. Right? I mean, all of us know how divided our country is. There's black and white, red and blue, urban and rural, pro-life, pro-choice, gay, straight, this side, that side. Maybe you can even make it more personal and think about someone in particular who's getting on your nerves. Right? No matter where the line is drawn or what issue people are arguing about, the argument from both sides is always the same. I'm so glad I'm not like those ignorant losers on the other side. They're corrupt. They've been brainwashed. They don't know what they're talking about. But I see things clearly. I know how things should really go. I'm right, and they're wrong. Even though this us versus them mentality is clearly around today, it was also around back in Jesus' day. In today's gospel reading, we hear Jesus tell this parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector. Two people who couldn't be any more opposite. Now, the original audience would have had certain assumptions about these two characters. For example, Pharisees were highly respected people. Right? They were the scholars. They were the religious authorities. They were the ones people listened to and admired. So the original audience would have seen him as the good guy in the story. Then there were the tax collectors. These were Jewish people who worked for Rome by taking money from their own people. And they often took more than was necessary because that's how they made their income. So in other words, they were seen as traitors to their own people. So that means right away, there was a clear line between the good guy and the bad guy. The Pharisee and the tax collector. And as the original audience listened to the story, they would have heard the Pharisee say this. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. This Pharisee was a good law-abiding Jew. He lived the way God's people were supposed to live. In our context, we might say that he's the, quote, good Christian. He has a strong faith. Never misses worship. Is active in church, volunteers for a lot of stuff, gives a lot, is always around when you need him, just that sort of guy. And I'm sure you know people like this. Or maybe you are someone like this. He has a really good spiritual resume, so to speak. Well, but then there's the tax collector. He's the guy on the wrong side of the law. And the original audience heard this about him. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The audience might have thought, yeah, you are a sinner. It's good for you to admit that. But your life is so messed up, You are so corrupt, so far gone that there's no hope left for you. Good luck trying to have God show you mercy. I'm glad I'm not like you. His spiritual resume is quite pathetic. So we can imagine today's Pharisee maybe making fun of today's tax collector on social media. But then Jesus drops a bomb and says that when they went home, the tax collector was justified. Meaning he was in right relationship with God. Wait, what? That's not how the story is supposed to go. When you're living a good life, when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, when you're keeping your nose clean and working hard, it doesn't make sense to hear that the other guy was justified. You're the one who's earned it, right? Isn't that how a lot of people think today? How often does one group complain because some other group got an advantage in life? Even if they were not the most respectable people. We think there are certain things in life that we deserve and other people don't deserve. Isn't that why we hear so much about Americans feeling entitled? You should give this thing to me, but don't give it to them, because I deserve it and they don't. Now, of course, when we hear this parable, we often flip it around. And we think of the Pharisee as the bad guy and the tax collector as the good guy. That's because we know that Jesus hung out with tax collectors and sinners, and he butted heads with the Pharisees. So since we want to be on Jesus' side, then we think of ourselves as the opposite of the Pharisee. We often hear this parable and think, God, I'm glad I'm not as arrogant as that Pharisee. Did you see what just happened? When we feel that we're better off than the Pharisee, then we behave just like him. Because that's exactly what he did to the tax collector. God, I'm so glad I'm not like him. I thank you that I'm not a jerk like he is. In thinking that, we have drawn yet another line and have fractured ourselves even more. Pride is a deadly sin that all of us commit. So then where's the good news in all this? Where is the new life, both back in Jesus' day and in our own? How do we get out of this habit of drawing lines between ourselves and others? Well, the good news is that God gives mercy to all of us. The lines we draw don't matter to God. We might define ourselves against someone else, but we are all still united in Christ. The tax collector went home in a right relationship with God because he understood that he needed God's mercy. The Pharisee also received the mercy, but he didn't think he needed it. So his relationship with God wasn't any different. Basically, he was so full of himself that there was no room left for God. And yet, God still loved him too. Today, we might say that Jesus died for both of them. The Pharisee was not too far gone, and the tax collector was not somehow morally superior. Or the Pharisee was not somehow this perfect person, and the tax collector was not some unforgivable traitor. In the same way, today, when we see people arguing on both sides of a line, we need to remember that Jesus died for everyone. He died for that political candidate who's portrayed as some kind of a villain. He died for your neighbor who displays a different sign in their yard than you do. He died for that person who posts stuff on social media that you don't like. He died for the person in prison. The person with a different skin color. The person with a gigantic ego. Or to make it more personal, Jesus died for that person you thought of earlier who annoys you. Whoever you are, you are given new life in the waters of baptism. Whoever you are welcome at the table to receive the body and blood of Christ. Whoever you are made into a new person because of the cross and the empty tomb. That means that the only lines that really matter in this world are the two that intersect to form the cross. At the feet of Jesus, all of us are broken sinners. And all of us are justified by him. That is good news indeed. And now, because of the mercy he gives to us, we can go into the world, cross the lines that are drawn, and show that same mercy to others. For example, consider 47-year-old Ann Patton and 53-year-old Richard Lathan. At first glance, these two people come from opposite sides of many lines. Ann is a white woman who lives in Seattle. She has a doctorate in art history, a husband, and a dog. Richard is a black man who lives in the notorious San Quentin State Prison in California. This former gang member was sentenced to 15 years to life in prison 22 years ago for a murder he said he didn't commit. Now let me stop there. Just from that information, maybe you've made certain assumptions about each of these two people. Like the Pharisee and the tax collector. Well, a number of years ago, Anne heard a podcast about Richard and how he volunteers in the infirmary in the prison, helping people who are sick. She wanted to express her gratitude for his work and how she admired him for it. So she wrote him a letter. Of course, he was very surprised to receive it, and so he wrote back to her. Tentatively, the two continued to write back and forth, getting to know each other and learning their life stories. As their letters continued, so too did their friendship, which broke through many of the lines that were between them. Anne once said this of Richard. Richard has a deep desire for truth and reconciliation, wanting to know when we can get to a point in society where we can stop harming each other. Richard also has a desire to be the change he wants to see in the world, and believes that change begins with the self. Richard also said this of Anne. I had no idea that a stranger would become like a mother figure to me. She has an unbelievable courage about her. At times, she had me crying that a person like me would have this type of friendship. I grew up on the streets. My mother kicked me out when I was 17. I told myself, if my mother doesn't care about me and I don't see my father, then why should I care about anyone else? In my mind, I thought I'd have to battle the world by myself. And she gave me this gift. It's very astonishing, this friendship. I don't know what I did to deserve it. There it is. None of us deserve it. None of us are entitled to it, but we all receive it. Both Anne and Richard were given this gift of friendship. And in the same way, all of us are given the grace of God. That means that those lines in our society are not etched in stone. They can be broken by letters that go in and out of prison. They can be broken by hearts and hands that reach out to the neighbors who get under our skin. And they are always broken by Christ, who unites us all. So in 16 days, those political ads went. But hopefully today, we can help end the lines that divide us. Because Jesus is for all of us. In the name of the one who died for us all, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.